Good to see Brother Dr., excuse me, Dan Russell with us this morning. Good to have Dr. Dan with us. He's the director, local director of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Franklin and Fulton County. I'm just understanding folks are really busy getting geared up for the summer camps and activities. Dr. Russell, is there anything in particular the camp needs?
Yes. We need paper towels. I was saying there's
paper towels.
We are out of paper towels. We actually had to buy a little bit last year to make it through the summer. We are completely out of paper towels.
Okay, so you all seen that ad, that commercial on TV where this lady buys from Goods, and her husband, she said we needed paper towels, and her husband opens the pantry door, and they come rolling out. It looks like a dump truck load, so that's what we're going to do to CVS pantry. So we're going to fill them with paper towels, okay? So start bringing paper towels in, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we've been there the last several weeks, centered around the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've pulled a verse out of this passage of Scripture that is certainly applicable to my experience during my stay in the hospital of 68 days. And I'm going to be sharing some of the details of what took place that made me so aware of God's amazing, abundant, and inexhaustible grace. The Apostle Paul, and I wanted to say, and I probably will say this again later, but I'm not trying to compare myself at all to the Apostle Paul. Please understand, this verse is his testimony, but there's certain applicable truths here that do apply to all of us, and we can certainly take that understanding. In verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Three times he mentions grace in that verse. I've had grace on my mind for the last 3.5 months. Every day, literally every day, there has not been a day that I have not thought about the fact that God's grace is sufficient to see me through this trial. I've never been through a trial like this one. I've never been through a situation where I was totally helpless and totally unable to do anything for myself. Totally dependent upon other people, the prayers of thousands of people, which I am humbled at that fact. I'll talk about that in just a moment. And just the love and kindness that has been poured out upon me. You know, they say grace is what you receive from God even though you don't deserve it. And Paul felt undeserving when he wrote this verse, because he says in another passage that, you know, he was a chief of sinners. He was a persecutor of the early church. He was unworthy of God's love and salvation. And here he's expressing his great appreciation for the grace of God. So I've had grace on my mind literally every day since God saw fit to have me go through the COVID ordeal. And by the way, we want to pray for Pinky's daughter. She's in the hospital right now with COVID. And so when I was awake, when I was in the hospital, and when I was awake, and I'll explain that 19 days I was not awake. I was totally unconscious on a ventilator. But when I was awake or conscious, many times throughout every single day, I thought about how fortunate I was to be under the care of God's grace. That God's grace was with me. And today, again, as I shared, I want to share two verses, and a passage, a short passage of Scripture that will remind us that God's grace is so amazing. It's the title of my message today, Grace So Amazing.
I tell this testimony, I give this testimony this morning, primarily for the reason that I know before COVID hit me, my family, I took grace for granted. In several, many years of ministry, my mind, I can't think right now how many years of ministry. Many of those years went by when I just took grace for granted. I knew grace was real. I knew God's grace was upon us. I knew all the facts about grace. I had the head knowledge of grace. But I cannot say I personally experienced grace like I have in the last 3 months. And grace, I believe, is something that you cannot experience unless you go through a valley of the shadow of death trial of some sort and find out for yourself that grace, yes, grace is very real. And without it, we would be very helpless. So on January the 19th, I'll not forget that day because it was the day before inauguration. Debbie had tested positive a couple of days before this for COVID, and she was having some pretty rough symptoms on January the 19th, and I felt it was best to take her to the emergency room and see if they could give her anything or help her in any way. And on the way to the emergency room in Chambersburg, she convinced me to let them check me. Because she was sure, all I had was a little tickle in my throat. I thought, well, maybe I'm coming down with a cold. Maybe it's allergies. It's really nothing. She's really sick. She's got COVID. So they checked her into the emergency room, and the nurse sitting at the registration desk said, what about you? And I said, oh, I'm fine. So she gets her little gadget out and takes my temperature. She says, no, you're not fine. You're coming with me. So just a few minutes later, I was in the ER, just like Debbie was, being poked and prodded with needles and gadgets and tested for COVID. And in just a few minutes, they came back and they said, yeah, you're positive for COVID. And you've also got pneumonia in one lung. And so we were waiting for the blood test to come back. And Debbie was being treated in another cubicle. And while we were there, the doctor came in and he says, you've got pneumonia, but we don't know what kind. There's different strands of pneumonia. And so since we don't know what kind you have, we can't give you an antibody. So we're going to have to wait until the blood work is complete so that we can find out what kind of antibody to give you, so we're going to admit you to the hospital. And that night, they gave me an IV of antibodies, which obviously worked. But I knew then, when they said they were going to admit me in the hospital, I knew that in God's sovereignty, for whatever reason, which I'll never understand, even though Debbie testifies, and I do too, that we were very careful. We went through all the precautions that we could go through, wearing masks, washing our hands. She even washed all of our clothes every time we went outside the house. We'd take off all of our clothes when we got home, take a shower. She washed all of our clothes immediately. We took all the precautions that we could, but in God's sovereignty, he saw fit for me, for both of us to get pneumonia. I don't know why, other than to teach me something about grace. But I knew God's grace would be sufficient for me, regardless of where this journey would lead me, just as God's grace was sufficient for the Apostle Paul in the midst of his severe struggle with the thorn in the flesh. My journey continued. The next day, I found myself back in the hospital again, even though they released me the night after the first night. They gave me an IV of antibodies and then released me the next day. And I went home feeling really well, not feeling sick at all. But the next day I was back in the hospital again on a double dose of oxygen, heavy duty oxygen, and wearing a CPAC oxygen mask at night. I underwent chest x-rays and blood work nearly every day, sometimes twice a day. And the nurses told me that during that first 23 days, I was attacked with 7 different strands of pneumonia. Some days I had 2 strands at the same time. I was being told that I couldn't stay at Chambersburg Hospital on a long-term basis. So as soon as they got my oxygen level below 50%, as soon as my lungs needed less than 50% assistance on oxygen, they were going to have to move me to a long care facility. And so I was thinking any day now, they're going to be moving me. They kept trying to wean me off of the oxygen that I was on. I was on heavy doses of oxygen. They got me down one time. They got me all the way down to 60%. That's getting close to 50. The doctor literally came in my room and stood there for over an hour. And she kept bumping the oxygen level down. Every few minutes, she would lower it another percent. And she got me down to about 54%. But then I started gasping for breath and I couldn't breathe, so they had to bump it back up again. And so, to my dismay, not expecting this to happen at all, we had talked early in my stay in the hospital about the possibility that some people have to go on a ventilator if they can't get their oxygen needs down. And I thought, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to make it work. And so I tried to live with the oxygen level at 60%, but one night a doctor walked into my room, stood at the foot of my bed, and he said very casually, he says, "We feel because your oxygen level's not coming down below 60%, it's necessary to put you on a ventilator." Well, you can imagine, I immediately had a sinking feeling in my stomach. It was the first time in this COVID journey, the first time in that experience that I had thoughts like, I'm not going to make it. And so I regret to this day that I called Debbie. They said, "Is there anyone you want to talk to or call before we intubate you?" And I said, "I want to talk to my wife one more time." And so I regret to this day that on the phone with Debbie, I told her, "I don't think I'm going to make it through this." And I regret that because I know now what kind of stress I put her under. She was still fighting COVID herself at home. But we wept together over the phone, and then less than an hour later, I was totally out, intubated for the next 16 days. I was told hardly anybody makes it that long on a ventilator. That's very rare. So, taken off of the ventilator on February the 28th, then on March the 2nd, just 2 days later, they decided my oxygen level was low enough that on a regular oxygen tank, I could be transported to the long-term select specialty Holy Spirit Hospital in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. It took me there by ambulance. We arrived about 10 p.m. that evening. And I am told, though thankfully I don't remember any of this, I am told that as the medics were taking me from the ambulance to the ER, I went into cardiac arrest. And so it took them a day or so to get me stabilized again, back on a ventilator for 3 more days. It was March the 5th when I was finally put in a regular patient room with oxygen until March the 16th, the longest 2 weeks of my life. I experienced all the typical side effects of having been sedated and on a ventilator for 19 days: bewilderment, hallucinations, nightmares. Pray for me, I'm still having the nightmares. Not being in control of my actions, I tried to escape from the hospital numerous times. On March the 19th, I was moved to the Penn State Rehab Facility in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I had been in a hospital bed up to this point for 62 days. I couldn't stand, and I couldn't walk without assistance. The head doctor at the Penn State Rehab Facility wasn't even certain that I should be taking therapy yet. because it hadn't been very long since my cardiac arrest, but I insisted that he let me try. And after just 5 days of therapy, I was walking with a walker without assistance, and I had passed all the tests that were necessary to go home. Truly a miracle from God, and again, God's grace was at work. I had completed a 21-day therapy session in 5 days. The doctors, nurses, and therapists at rehab couldn't believe it. As they were changing shifts one afternoon, I heard a nurse outside my door tell another nurse, "This is our miracle man." It's all by the grace of God. Some people say, "Well, Pastor Darrell, was all the hundreds of people that were praying for you." And it's true. By God's grace, he had folks praying for me. Outside of yourselves, my faithful church family, there were friends in dozens of other churches praying as well. Missionaries in several countries sent emails that they were praying for me in places like Mexico, Australia, Japan, Africa, Romania, and yes, even Israel. Odea, the young lady who had visited us a couple of years ago, she sent word that she and her family were praying for me, and our church, our congregation, the Way congregation that we support in Haifa, Israel, they sent a message that they were also praying for me. And yes, it was all those prayers being answered, and I was daily reminded of God's sustaining grace that was strengthening me. There were times, I'm not going to lie to you, there were times during those 69 days or 68 days that I thought I'd never see my family again, that I'd never sit in church with my church family again, that I'd never preach again. But thanks to your praying, God brought me through this very deep and dark valley. Praise be to God. So with that in mind, I'd like to share again three simple thoughts about grace. Nothing new this morning that you haven't heard before, but hopefully something you need to hear again. God's grace is so amazing. Again, back to 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am," or "but by the grace of God, I am where I am today." That's the only explanation there is. A lot of people have made the comment, "Well, God's not finished with you. God still has work for you to do." I'm not going to rebut that. But even if God took me home today, it was grace that saw me through this trial. That's the only explanation there is. I used to say, and you folks have heard me say this many times, I kind of coined the expression, "There's no other word for grace but amazing." Now I say, there is literally no single word in our whole vocabulary that can explain grace or can describe grace. It's beyond amazing. It was God's grace that gave me courage to take Debbie to the ER on January the 19th and then agree to be tested myself. I found it somewhat humorous. I wanted to share this with you. I found it humorous that late that afternoon, a young physician's assistant came by my cubicle with Debbie in tow and said, "We're sending your wife home. She just wanted to stop by and say hello." And then he said something that stuck in my mind. He says, "We're releasing your wife to go home, but we're admitting you to the hospital. You brought her for her COVID issues, but you're the one who's really sick." I just couldn't believe it. I didn't feel sick. I felt fine. Later, he explained my blood pressure was very elevated, and again, I had a strand of pneumonia that they still hadn't identified, and they were waiting to decide what kind of IV antibodies to give me. The next day, however, after receiving that antibody through the night, I was discharged to go home the very next afternoon. I spent that night at home. But again, it was God's grace that my VA nurse just happened to call that day to see how I was doing and remind me that it was time to make an appointment to see the doctor. Now, how often does that happen? When you get a call from a nurse saying, you know, it's been about 6 months, we ought to schedule your next doctor's appointment. Of course, in the conversation, I said, well, I just got home from the hospital. I've been tested positive for COVID. It just so happened that our daughter had given us one of those little oxygen tester things. And she says, do you have any way of testing your oxygen? I said, I sure do. It's right here in my hand. She says, what's your oxygen level? It was 84. She about flipped out. She says, get yourself back to the emergency room immediately. And then she went on to explain all the things that could happen if my oxygen level didn't come back pretty soon, to come up pretty soon. So reluctantly, I had Debbie take me back to the ER and was admitted then for 67 more days. But again, as I've already stated, God constantly reminded me of His sustaining grace. Let me just share some of the ways that God used grace in that experience. Again, it was God's grace that allowed the doctors to quickly identify all those different strains of pneumonia and give me the right antibody. Every day they were putting a new thing on my IV pole, and I say, oh, another bag of that antibody. No, this one's different than the one you had yesterday or any other that you've had before. I had 7 different kinds of antibodies pumped into me over a 23-day period. It was only by God's grace that the doctors were able to use the blood work to identify what strain I was dealing with that day. It was God's grace that allowed the special COVID infusion to be available to me. You've heard about the high-powered COVID infusion that President Trump received. I received the same kind, the kind that has to be made from the blood of someone who had COVID already. And they said there was very little of that available, and it was a miracle that they had one for me. Yeah, no, it wasn't a miracle. It was God's grace. It was God's grace that at one of my lowest points, emotionally, late one night, a young nurse that had actually been trained under Cindy, she alerted her to the fact that I was in the hospital, so she came looking me up. She wasn't even working on the floor that I was on. She came into my room, she spent over an hour with me, giving me words of encouragement. And before she left, she prayed with me. It was by God's grace that Debbie and I were allowed to visit in person or by telephone every day, except when I was on a ventilator. And that kept my spirits up. It was God's grace that allowed me to survive 19 days on the ventilator, as many people do not. It was God's grace that I have no memory of the ventilator experience, as many people do, nor of the bronchostomy that they performed while I was on the ventilator, nor of the cardiac arrest. I don't remember any of that taking place. It was by God's grace that I walked through the valley of delusions, hallucinations, and nightmares which followed being on a ventilator so long. It was God's grace that gave me the endurance to lay in a hospital bed for 68 days. Any of you who have been in a hospital know what I'm talking about. I've laid in hammocks that were more comfortable than that hospital bed. It was God's grace that allowed me to complete a 21-day therapy program in 7 days, even when the doctor wasn't sure I should even be doing therapy. It was God's grace that I was able to come home and be with family and friends again. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. So what does this mean to you? I know that, you know, I'm giving a testimony, and you might think, well, this sermon's all about Pastor Daryl. It doesn't apply to me. It's always good to give a testimony of what God is doing, what God has done. And as I shared earlier, I know from experience that we can take God's grace for granted, and we can go through life and not even understand much about God's grace. I'll assure you, I didn't totally understand. I knew about God's grace, and I knew it was necessary for salvation, and I knew that it was daily grace that sustained me. But how does it actually work? God showed me how it works. It gave me complete, perfect calm and perfect peace, even when I thought I wasn't going to make it. I was sorry and sorrowful and depressed because I felt I was leaving Debbie, and we still should have had a few good years left together, you know, and I didn't want to leave Debbie. I didn't want to leave my family. I didn't want to leave my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandchild. But if that was God's choice, if I didn't make it on the ventilator, I was at perfect peace with that. I had no fear. As I even told God, I says, God, you're in charge. Whatever you want, that's your will. That's the best thing. But I know there are people here today that you've been through trials. You've been through major trials, and you've experienced the grace of God. And you know that it's God's grace that saw you through those trials. Maybe it was an illness, a serious illness. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was a broken relationship, a broken family. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you were at the end of your rope financially and you didn't know what you were going to do. Maybe it was a major decision you had to make in your life, and it was not an easy decision. I don't know what it was or what it's going to be. There's some of you who still will go through some major trial in your life, some major, major issue that's going to test your faith. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will find that God's grace is very real. It is very real. So what does this mean to you? You might say today, oh, it's great that God would do that for Pastor Daryl, but would he do it for me? So I want to just share three simple applications to this first point, that God's grace is so amazing. First of all, we should all rejoice in what God has done. I'm not saying that or bragging in any way that God brought me back and here I am, praise be to God, but I'm saying, as the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. I'm rejoicing today that I made it through this. And, you know, the talk is, we always hear so much talk about, you know, it's possible to get it again. Doctors and nurses say, just because you've had COVID once don't mean you won't get it the second time. And at this point, I'm fine with that. I don't want to do that, obviously. but if that's God's sovereign plan and God's sovereign will, I know that grace will be just as real as it was the first time around. So we can all rejoice in what God is doing, what God has done. We can rejoice in His amazing grace. But secondly, know this, God's grace is sufficient for every one of you. It is sufficient for every one of you. Even if you too must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God's grace will be there. He'll remind you. He'll comfort your heart. He'll give you the peace of God that passes all understanding. He will. And number three, be confident that God never fails. God never fails. Every day, God reminded me of His grace. 5 minutes before I went under the ventilator, God reminded me, my grace is with you. My grace is sufficient. And what He's done for others, He'll do for you. So I have two more verses, a passage of Scripture, and then another verse. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, another one of my favorite passages of Scripture that I've shared with you many times. But we need to be reminded often, especially during times of trial, that God's grace is renewed every day. God's grace is renewed every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, it says, "For all things, whether it's COVID virus or financial collapse or a broken family, all things are for your sakes." God said, this is happening for your good. Do you remember Romans 8:28? It's true. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That word redound is sort of like the English word reverberate. It keeps sounding over and over again. You can hear it. I could hear God saying in my ears every day, grace is upon you. Grace is with you. Hold on to the grace. So grace is renewed every day. Look at it again. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Paul says, you know, the little things that we go through, like COVID virus, is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Three things I want to share with you here as well, by way of application. You can never exhaust the grace of God. It never runs out. There's a brand new fresh supply every single day. And there's lots of verses that we could turn to show you that, but I won't take time now. It's just as fresh and sufficient on the final day of the journey that it was on the first. Number two, if you don't shut God out, if you don't resist grace, He will remind you as often as necessary that even through the valley of the shadow of death, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Why? Because He is right there with us. That's grace. He's right there with us. That's grace. And then thirdly, never resist the grace of God. Why should we never resist? Why should we never say, God, I've heard so much about grace, I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Lord, you don't understand what I'm going through. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Never resist. When God wants to lavish you with grace, don't resist it. Don't push back. Don't say, Lord, I think I'll look for some other cure, some other help. God's grace is all you need. And it's a gift. It's a gift that God wants to give you. The word grace, which appears 131 times in the New Testament, is a simple little Greek word, charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. It means it's a gift from God, just like your salvation is a gift from God. Grace is a gift. The definition is, it's a gift whereby God liberally bestows divine favor, either spiritually or physically, upon the heart of an individual. Again, it's something we don't deserve. I didn't deserve God's grace, but it was there every day. God was reminding me He was with me. He hadn't left my side. His grace was upon me. The word spiritual gift that Paul uses in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the spiritual gifts that He gives to each one of us, That word gift comes from the same root word, charisma. Just add a suffix, ma to charis, and you have the spiritual gifts. My point is that grace is a gift, just like salvation is a gift of God. It would offend God if he offered us his grace and we said, no thanks, I don't want that. I don't need that. I think I'll look somewhere else for help, Lord. Don't shut God out. Don't resist his grace. I know it's possible because I see people doing it all the time. People who call themselves Christians really aren't trusting God through the trials. Which brings me to the last point. You'll turn to John chapter 3, verse 36. The very last Sunday morning that I was in the hospital, actually in the rehab center, I had a TV in my room for those last 7 days that I was in. And only got about five stations. Four of the five stations were sports channels. I'm not a sports fan. But I thought, I was laying there on a Sunday morning, no rehab that day. So I thought, well, I'll turn the TV on, see what I can find. I turned it on, and right away, as soon as it came on, Charles Stanley was preaching. And even though this verse was the last point of his message, and it was exactly what I needed at that moment. And even though it doesn't have the word grace in it, it's all about grace. It says, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. That includes grace for every single day of that life. Forever. Grace, which is sufficient. That's grace, so amazing. It's all about grace. You and I were saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We receive God's grace the very moment we were saved. Not just saving grace, but sustaining grace, which is renewed every single day. So the thing is, very simple and plain, and I hope it hits you as hard as it hit me that Sunday morning. If you are in need of grace, all you have to do is believe. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son and His beloved Son, came from heaven to this earth and died on a cross for your sins and my sins. And He was put in a tomb and rose again the third day so that He could offer to each and every one of us the grace of salvation and the grace of eternal life. Paul said God reminded Paul that his grace was sufficient for his need. That word sufficient means it is enough. It's all you will ever need to carry you through the storms and the valleys of this life. It's all you will need to usher you into the next phase of eternal life beyond the gates of glory. It's a gift. Receive it. Enjoy it. Lean upon it. God's grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I would dare say most of you here have been through some trials in your life. equal to or greater than the trial that the Lord's just brought me through by grace. And you've experienced and you know and you can testify. You could raise your hand and say, I know what God's grace is all about. I experienced it in a way that I had never experienced it before. I believe that to really know God's grace in a personal way, you have to go through something that is desperate. Something that is very serious. Something that is life-threatening or equivalent. Some of you, many of you here have experienced those trials. Again, it may have been a terrible, serious illness. Maybe you have struggled for months or even years with a terminal disease. Maybe you've lost a loved one and your heart still grieves the emptiness and the pain of not having that loved one by your side anymore. Maybe you've seen your family crumble and fall apart and divisions come because of unfaithfulness or because of ill treatment or some addiction to some drug or alcohol, and you have suffered many years. But you know that God's grace is sufficient for whatever the need is. Maybe you've been through a financial loss. You've lost your job. You can't pay your bills. You don't know where the next meal is going to come from. You just don't know what you're going to do. God's grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's all you need. It will see you through those times. But there are some of you sitting here today. For many years you've believed, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven. But when a crisis comes into your life, when a trial pounces upon you, you fall apart. You don't know what to do. You feel full of dismay. Your life just feels like it's over. You have nowhere to turn. You feel so distant from God. Where is God? Why doesn't He hear my prayer? Why doesn't He come to my aid? And it's because you've never really believed. You've never really trusted in that sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You're depending upon yourself, your own goodness, your good works. You think that if I'm good enough a person, God will allow me to go to heaven when I die. But as far as having His grace every single day give you that perfect peace that passes all understanding and give you the joy that is never suppressed because of the difficulties or trials, you know you're in a right relationship with God. You know that He loves you immeasurably and unconditionally. You know that He's right there with you, walking hand in hand through that valley. You just don't have that peace. You don't have that relationship. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You will be delivered. Delivered from the bondage of this world, the bondage of sin, the bondage of being without God and without His grace in this world and in the world to come. Today, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Call upon Him. Lord, I have sinned. I am a sinner. Oh God, Your word promises forgiveness. If I just confess and admit that I need You, I need Your forgiveness. I call upon You today, dear God, save me by Your grace. And He will.